Well, good morning. Good morning. Oh, okay. This side was good to go. Last Sunday, it was the other side. Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to see you. Hope you're doing well and you survived the week with all the snow and all of the school closings and delays. And I was really thankful for a delay for my son on Friday because I had just gotten back late. And I'll tell you more about that in a moment, and you will not feel sorry for me, okay? But we are in this series entitled Rhythms of Grace, and today we're going to be talking about prayer. And prayer comes with all kinds of baggage for us because we often are, when we hear the pastor's going to talk about prayer, we're like, oh, he's going to guilt me. He's going to talk about how I haven't been praying enough, and we are certainly going to talk about that, but ultimately, our goal every year here at Mosaic as we begin the year in 21 days of prayer and fasting is that we would come back to the center of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus and that we would reorganize our life around three goals. That's why we exist here at Mosaic is for three things. To be with Jesus. Everybody say, be with Jesus. Number two, to become like Jesus. And then number three, to do what Jesus did. All of this is about being connected to God, be with Jesus, be connected with God in intimacy with Him. And then to become like Jesus is about being connected in community with one another. And then lastly, to do what Jesus did, to be connected to our purpose. And our purpose is to live on mission for Him. That's why we exist. That's why we meet week after week. And we do this together by being reminded of the large image in the lobby, the 5% life. And real quick, the 5% life is this. We want every person connected to Mosaic to spend 1% of your day in God time. 15 minutes. Maybe you've been doing that for a long time, and we would just encourage you in 2025 to add 15 minutes. To add 15 minutes, connecting and spending daily time alone in fellowship with Him. And then number two, gather time. 1% of your time spent weekly gathering in worship with your church family. So give yourself a hand. You made it today. Oh, you're not excited about that. Okay. And then group time that you would spend 1% of your month connected in community with a small group. That's roughly 7.5 hours a month. It's amazing what these daily, monthly rhythms will do and how they connect to lots of time. And then lastly, go time. That you would spend 2% of your year living on mission. That's roughly 7 days in a calendar year. And so we have lots of opportunities throughout the year for you to connect to this. But all of this is about us walking and living at the rhythm of grace. All of the practices that we will talk about in this series are connected to helping you walk at the rhythm of grace. So we start every year with 21 days of prayer and fasting, and it's intentional. This isn't just like, oh, let's do this as a ritual. We don't know what else to do in January because everybody's coming back from the holidays. No, this is intentional time. It's not about guilt. It's not about shame. It's not about tradition or passively engaging. We want every single person to not just simply check the list so you can be a part of the in crowd here at Mosaic. We desire that each of these practices would help you walk at the rhythm of grace. We started last week in the book of Matthew, and I'm going to draw our attention back to the passage, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28 through 30. You'll see it up on the screen. I'm going to read it for us. Jesus says, "Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Each of the practices that we will look at today, specifically prayer, is about connecting your life to the light way of Jesus, to the soul-rested way of Jesus. And prayer is the essential practice or the fuel for you receiving this rest and light burden. Prayer is what all the practices that we will look at are connected to. Tyler Staton says this. He says, every practice of Jesus is both formational and counterformational. In this life, in this world, we are not treading water in a lake, but in a river. Meaning that if all we do is tread water, we don't stay put. Life has a way of dragging us towards its intention for our life. And so we're going somewhere where the cultural current is taking us. And spiritual practices or the rhythm of grace is a way of swimming upstream against the current so that we get where we aim to go, not where we are passively being taken. Prayer is the relational center around which every other spiritual practice orbits. Another way of putting it is prayer is the soil. Some of you like to garden and you can't wait for the spring. That's your favorite time of the year to get your hands dirty and to begin to plant things. Prayer is the soil where our spiritual practices are planted in and grow. So our big idea for today is this. The rhythms of grace are fueled by a life of prayer. I want to draw your attention to a couple passages this morning, the first of which is Hebrews chapter 5. We're going to see that Jesus' life was fueled by a life of prayer. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7 through 14 says this, in the days of his flesh, Jesus offered up prayers and supplications with loud cries and tears. I want to pause for just a second. This isn't even my notes. I was reading this passage this morning, just reminding myself of where we're headed. Often in church, when you think about it, even the songs that we sing are not similar to the songs in the Bible in the book of Psalms. The book of Psalms, two-thirds is lament. Can you imagine if we came this morning and we sang songs of lament? I guarantee you, you would not be like clapping, you know, like Aaron gets us to clap. You would not be ready to dance, right? Like we like to do sometimes here in the front row. You would not. You'd be like, here's what it would sound like. Oh Lord, my life is terrible. I bring my pleas and my cries to you because my enemy, my boss, is killing me. Not real encouraging, but really honest. Really honest. Really true. How we often really feel. Jesus was one who offered up prayers and supplication with loud cries and tears to him who was able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his reverence. Although he was a son, he learned obedience from what he suffered. And being made perfect, he became the source of eternal salvation to all who obey him, being designated by God a high priest after the order of Melchizedek. About this, we have much to say, and it is hard to explain since you have become dull in hearing. I have a hard job today to talk about prayer because we've all heard a lot about prayer. But if we're honest, if I'm honest about myself, I can become dull in my hearing about a word about prayer. And God doesn't want that for us. He says, for though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the basic principles of the oracles of God. You need milk, not solid food, for everyone who lives on milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, since he is a child. But solid food is for the mature, for those who have their powers of discernment trained by constant practice. That's that phrase. That's what we should all be after. Constant practice to distinguish good from evil. What I want us to see this morning is that the rhythms of grace are fueled by a life of prayer. It's fueled by a life of practice. Our second passage this morning is Philippians 4. Paul talks about the same thing, the same idea from a different angle. Philippians 4, 4 through 7. Rejoice in the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. Again, I will say rejoice. Let your reasonableness be known to everyone. The Lord is at hand. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving. That's what Pastor Drew modeled for us this morning. That's what he encouraged you to practice this morning, to be thankful to God. With thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. How many of you would like that kind of peace in your life? Anybody? I know I would. I got both hands up. I would like that kind of peace. And I want to tell you this morning, prayer, one discipline, one spiritual practice, one rhythm of grace, if there was one that you could hold on to and get good at and lean into and get better at and learn more about, it's prayer. It's interesting. Jesus specifically is asked by his disciples, how should we pray? You know what they don't ask him? How do we read this? How do we study this? It's not that that isn't important. This is very important. These words matter, but the one thing that was connected to the heart of God was the language of prayer. And he wanted them to have it. So our first point this morning that I want you to write down and get down into your heart, more importantly than putting words on a page, is that you would see that prayer is the heart language of being with Jesus. Now all of our points are going to be connected to being with Jesus, becoming like Jesus, and doing what Jesus did. Because I want to drill this deep down into our hearts this morning. The very first thing is prayer is the heart language of being with Jesus. That's what Paul is pointing us to in the passage that we just read. He's pointing us to what Jesus personified with his life and with his actions. Now, this last week, I told you I was going to get to the part where you weren't going to feel sorry for me. But this last week, for my job with Send Network and North American Mission Board, I traveled down to Miami. My poor thing, right? And Jessica got to go with me, which was great. That doesn't always happen. But Tyson's still home from college, and he is a broke college student. So he said, what can I give you guys for Christmas? And we said, you can watch the kids for 2 days, and or really 3 days. And so we were super thankful for that. And so showed up in Miami. And every time I go to Miami, even though I know it's suffering for Jesus, every time that I go to Miami, it feels like you have traveled to another country. You land, you get out of your plane, and immediately you smell things that you would smell, especially in the MIA airport. You feel like you're missing in action. And then number two, you hear all the languages being spoken, particularly Spanish, but many other languages. And what's interesting is you feel like you have traveled to another country, but it's because everyone is speaking in their heart language. You know, if we grew up in the United States and we have spoken English our whole life, English is our heart language. We don't have to think about it. We just say things. In fact, just saying things gets us into trouble, right? Because it's our heart language. It's tied closely to our heart. My friend Gus, who I work with, he is Cuban-American, and he is second gen, so English is his heart language. but he speaks beautiful Spanish. Like when he says stuff, he was ordering food for us. I was like, that's just beautiful. It sounds amazing. I wish I could roll my R's like he does. It's beautiful. But it's a second language for him. But his mother, his grandmother, who he grew up under her roof, to hear her speak the language, it's her heart language. You can tell. It's close to her. She doesn't have to think about what she says. In fact, she's able to bring in all the slang and all the heart and all the emotion of her heart language. Eugene Peterson calls prayer the mother tongue of the spiritual life. I love that. Prayer is the mother tongue, the heart language of the spiritual life. And when you come to faith in Jesus and you step into the rhythms of grace, we learn a new language, and it's called prayer. And just like when you learned to talk as a little one, you had to learn to form words. And then as parents, we track how many different words. And when you go to the pediatrician, they ask how many words does your kid have. And if they don't have a certain number by a certain age, we start to get concerned and worried. And if they don't get it by a certain threshold, we put them into speech therapy. The truth of the matter is some of us as followers of Jesus have never learned the fact that prayer is our heart language. And it is the mother tongue of following Jesus. And some of us in this 21 days of prayer and fasting need to step into speech therapy. We need to step into speech therapy where we learn the heart language that God has for us. Because when we come to faith in Jesus and we step into the rhythms of grace, prayer is the way of communicating with God. And it has to become as natural as breathing. I want everybody to do this morning. Put your hand on your chest, just like this. And I want you to take a deep breath in and a deep breath out. Some of us have been through some really hard things over the last couple of months. Just take one deep in and one deep breath out. You don't have to think about that. That's how prayer has to become. As natural as your heart language and as natural as breathing in and breathing out. Now, if you want really good food, I want to encourage you to go to Miami. It's just amazing. It's really good food. In fact, we were talking about how between when I was with my coworkers, between 2013 and today, it's amazing the food scene that has just exploded in this city. There were restaurants when I was traveling for my work in 2013, 2014, that whole area didn't even exist. And even since 2020 and 21, when things have reopened up, the amazing food scene that has exploded in Miami. And if you go, I want you to go with my friend Gus Hernandez and have him order in Spanish. But if you were to go to France, you would want to order in French. If you were to travel to Greece and you wanted to see the Acropolis and really learn everything about it, you would want to know and hear it in Greek. And if you place your faith in Jesus and you want to be with him, you pray. You see, we pray because it's the only language we have for speaking to God. And Paul is telling us here in this passage in Philippians, it's the only way to deal with our anxious hearts. It's the only spiritual tool that we have to deal with our anxiety and our fears and our guilt and our shame. Fill in the blank. If we were honest, prayer becomes hard when it's met with our schedules and even our problems. Because prayer is not simple. Even though it's our heart language as followers of Jesus, it's not simple because A plus B does not always equal C in our prayers. Sometimes it does. Sometimes you could pray for that job or that spouse or that child and God answers. He hears and he answers, and we live and love for those things to take place. But the context of this passage in Philippians is really, really important because Paul is praying in prison, and every time he prays, it doesn't always equal release. It eventually becomes release for him, but one day he will lose his life for following Jesus. Jesus prays in the garden, and it didn't even mean for him that he wouldn't have to go to the cross, which we should be thankful for that God didn't answer that prayer. You see, Paul's counsel is to pray in every situation, not just when you're in the midst of a bout with anxiety. Prayer, genuinely speaking, does deliver peace. But it functions less like a prescription, like let me check the box, and it functions more like a daily vitamin. This is why I liken it to our heart language. God wants it to become so natural in our lives that it becomes the language that we speak in the morning, in the afternoon, and in the evening. It becomes the thing when we are at our job and we're stuck, where we deliver our cries up to God for help. It's that moment when you get a raise and the first thing you do isn't to go spend it on yourself to bit, but to give thanks to God for what He's blessed you with. It's the moment for me, like when you smoke a good cigar with a good scene in front of you and you just say, God, thank you for this scene. It's the moment when you have good meals with friends and you lift your thanks up to God for not only the food that's on the table, but the friendships that are around the table. It's the moment when you get bad news from a doctor or a cancer diagnosis or that your parent is sick and not going to make it, that you call out to Him in your time of trouble. You see, the hard part about prayer is there's no shortcuts for becoming fluent. There's no shortcut. You can't hack your way to speaking it as your heart language. There's not like, hey, every time you hear something, just ask me. That's how you become conversational with someone who speaks another language. There's no Duolingo or babble or whatever for hacking your way to this. It's daily, regularly talking to Him. Eugene Peterson says this: prayer is the only language available to us to bring our unique and particular selves just as we are without one plea into the daily, hourly speaking and listening to God who comes just as He is in Jesus. See, it's our hope at Mosaic that you mature in the rhythms of grace, but I hope that you will always see that everything else that we're going to talk about in this series, fasting, silence, solitude, generosity, service, all the things that we're going to talk about in this series are connected to this one. When you're fasting, what do? You pray. When you're in silence and solitude, who do you talk to? God. Who do you listen for? God. When you're serving and you need strength and help to bless the kids upstairs or serve in the back or to serve out on the walking mall when we have go time, who do we talk to? God. It's all connected to prayer. Number two, prayer is the pathway of becoming like Jesus. So prayer is the heart language of being with Jesus, but prayer is the pathway of becoming like Jesus. You see, our passage in Hebrews shows us that this was the path of Jesus' life. In the days of His flesh, Jesus offered up prayer and supplication with loud cries and tears. Prayer was Jesus' pathway of living this life. Jesus shows us a different pathway than the one we often choose. And that's why Paul says what he says. He says to bring our anxious hearts to God because he knows that's not our inclination. Our inclination is to sit and stew in our anxieties, to worry or to self-medicate our anxieties. He knows that our posture is to try to fix things on our own. It's why Adam and Eve, all the way back in the garden, sowed fig leaves. They were trying to fix their problem. They were trying to cover themselves. So let me ask you this question. When you lay down to sleep at night, what's the last thought that buzzes through your head? What's the last thought? For some of us who are type A-driven personalities, it's tomorrow's schedule, right? It's laundry for the moms and dads. It's taking the kids to school. It's did they pack their lunch? Did they do their homework? For those of us who are single, it's what do I have tomorrow? For a lot of us, it's what do I have at work? What do I have tomorrow? What do I have the next day? Where am I traveling next? The question is, when you wake up in the morning, what's the first thought that pounces on you? You see, the vast majority of us, if we were honest, we either begin our days or end our days both haunted and focused on our anxieties, our resentments, our wounds. And if we were really honest, fear is more constant than hope. Fear is, and shame and guilt are more constant than peace that Paul is talking about here, that Jesus is showing us with his life that's represented in Hebrews chapter 5. You see, our minds, when they are undirected and unoccupied with God, drift towards fear. That's what they do. They just naturally drift towards the pathway of fear. But prayer is not a way to magically remove all of our fears or all of our symptoms and anxiety once they've pinned us to the ground. But Tyler Staten says this. He says, prayer is the way of daily living in the presence of God, who is love. He is love. He is peace. He is kindness. He is gentleness. And perfect love is stronger than our fear. And he is that. You see, Jesus consistently and constantly walked on the pathway of prayer because he knew it was the only way to deal with, even for him, the daily anxieties, daily pressures. We think we got pressure, but none of us have experienced pressure in the kind of way that Jesus did. To live perfect, and to not sin, and to do what the Father had asked him to do perfectly. Jesus did that. And so he had to pray. He had to pray. So let me show you three quick things on this pathway of prayer. Jesus prayed in times of emotional distress. I love the book of Luke, because the book of Luke actually shows us how Jesus prayed, in the situations that Jesus prayed. Matthew helps you to know what to pray, but Luke actually shows you how Jesus prayed. Jesus prayed in times of emotional distress. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand if you're in that scenario, because all of us deal with it at some level or another. In Luke 22:42, Jesus says, "Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done." Rather than stewing on his situation, you see, Jesus didn't sweat drops of blood because he was holding on to his anxiety. He was doing that. He was pouring himself out for you and me. He was pouring his complaint and his anxious heart out to the Father who could answer him. The truth is, when Jesus was sad and sorrowful and emotionally exhausted, his first inclination was to get up even earlier and pray, because it was his heart language. and it was the pathway that he was on. Number two, Jesus prayed before making decisions. Luke 6:12-13, in these days he went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when day came, he called his disciples and chose from them the 12. When he was hiring people, he prayed. When he was looking for traveling companions to teach and to leave a mission for, he prayed. Which one, God? Which one? Some of you are responsible for lots of people in your job, and you feel weight because of that. The question is, do you pray? You see, God has designed your life with multiple opportunities for you to talk to him. I said this to somebody before this morning, before the service started, and I've said it before here at Mosaic. God is not in the business of putting us in places where we don't need him. But I want to add to that. But he's giving you everyday opportunities for you to talk to him. So rather than looking like at your kids or that situation or that coworker like an obstacle, you can now see it as an opportunity to talk to God about them. Jesus prayed before making decisions. And he didn't move until the Father answered him. Number three, Jesus prayed alone and with others. Luke 5:16, but he would withdraw to desolate places to pray. Luke 9:28 says he took Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. He did both. Both were a part of his pathway. Question is, when you and I look at our lives, do our lives look like the pathway of Jesus? When you are in emotional distress and anxious and fearful, do you pray? When you have decisions to make on a daily basis, both big and small, do you pray? When you think about your prayer life, is it just you and God, or does it include others? Is it practically integrated into your life? You see, if you and I are ever going to become like Jesus, and if we are going to ever do what Jesus did, prayer has to become the pathway of our life. Number three, as we close this morning, prayer is the discipline of doing what Jesus did. You see, Jesus was just a person of prayer. He just was. If you were to pick one spiritual discipline that Jesus' life was all about, it was prayer. He simply did it every day, every moment. So the question is, how do we become people who are marked by perfect love that breeds peace and a life that's easy and a burden that's light? We have to be with Jesus. We have to become like Jesus, and we have to do what Jesus did. Prayer is less like a prescription and more like a daily multivitamin. It's just daily a part of our rhythm. And you have to start setting aside committed time for it to become a part of your heart and a part of the language you naturally speak. I know Brianna and Dan are learning Portuguese. And when you miss a day, when you come back, you're rusty. I know when we traveled together this year and we were there, after about 3 or 4 days, it became more natural. And that's why we start every year with 21 days of prayer and fasting, because we want it to become more natural for the pace of our life. And the truth is you cannot create intimacy. You can't. There's no, like, let me pull this off the shelf and this off the shelf, and I put them together, and I have intimacy. What you have to do is you have to make room for it. You got to make room for it. And the truth is most of our lives just don't have room for God. They don't have room for us to be with Him. They don't have room for us to become like Him. And they don't have room for us to do what He did. So when we hear that, we're like, what in the world? That's impossible of what you're asking us to do, Jamie, to be a part of. The truth is, when you look at your daily routine and your schedule, you make room for what's important to you. You do. And prayer can happen anytime and anywhere. It can happen while you're commuting or when you're in the grocery store or at the gym or cooking dinner. Prayer can happen anywhere and anytime. It helps to have a place. It helps to have a prayer room, a prayer closet, a prayer chair, a prayer cup of coffee. That helps me. It helps to have a prayer journal sometimes, and maybe to have a prayer request book and to have books about prayer. But ultimately, it can happen anywhere, at any time, in any place. Your workplace might say, no religious things, and you can still pray because nobody knows but God if you're actually doing it. But it's practical because it starts with setting aside time and a place and beginning to talk to Him. All the rhythms of grace are fueled by a life of prayer. So if you want to go to the gas station and fill up your car for all the anxieties and stress and shame and guilt and distress and tragedy, if you need the fuel for all of those things, it's connected to talking with God. It's why when we begin our relationship with God, He tells us to call out to Him. He tells us to ask Him to deliver us. It's why the Psalms are filled with language to empower us. Because He wants us to talk to Him. And this morning, we get to celebrate the Lord's table. And it's what Christ did for us that's given us access to come talk to Him. It's why we get to do what James says, come boldly before the throne of grace and find mercy in our time of need. Because Jesus shed His blood and His body was broken for us. This is what we get to do. It's what we get to participate in because He paid the price. He paid the entrance fee for us to have a life of prayer. So as we stand this morning together, let's stand together and take a moment to reflect where you're at in your relationship with God. I want you to take just a moment. The Bible tells us to not take this meal lightly or without examining. I want to encourage you this morning, examine your life. Ask God, where is my heart? Where is my life? Is there anything between you and me, God? And to confess it. The Bible says that He's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. My encouragement to you this morning is to do that and then to come grab the elements, and in just a moment we'll take it together. Let me pray for us as we get ready to prepare our hearts for the Lord's table. Jesus, we love You. We thank You for the good news that we've heard this morning, that You want to talk to us. God, You want to form us. You want to change us. You want us to become more like You. So God, this morning, as we prepare our hearts to partake of this meal that remembers what You've done for us, would You help us to examine our hearts, to ask You to forgive us wherever it is that we have sinned against You. Maybe we need to walk across the room and ask somebody to forgive us before we take the meal. Would You give us courage to do that this morning? God, would You prepare our hearts to celebrate what You've done for us? We ask You for this in Jesus' name. And everybody said, Amen. Let's take this meal together.